welcome each other to church this morning. All right, well, welcome to church this morning. This is a newer song we've been doing by one of my favorite singers, Mac Powell, and he's the one that does River of Life as well. Straight out of Scripture, and I hope that you go, as you're going into your Advent season, that you go into it with an attitude of praise and our thankfulness. As we get about this time, it tends to get busy with all good things, with fun things. If you have small children, it gets really exciting. If you have kids that are older and they're coming home and visiting, all those things are great. But sometimes the real reason for the season can get missed. So I'm just asking myself as well, because I get so excited about Christmas, you know, just in general, and get busy in the busyness of it, that I need to rein myself in. And, you know, this is the reason why we come here every week. Our God came to us as a baby and chose to sacrifice his son for us. So I hope that you'll remember his mercy and his grace and what this season really means to us as we go forward and start this Advent season. So this song is called Be Praised.
Jesus, we're
This next song, I'm going to do a couple Christmas songs, so relax. It is the beginning of Advent. I know it's not December yet, technically, but, you know, we are beginning Advent, so we're going to do a couple Christmas songs. And this next song is called Mary's Boy Child, and you'll know it. It's a simple song just telling the story of Jesus, right? But that song, that story we've heard so many times. I don't want it to get old. I don't want you to miss the miracle that it was that Mary, a young girl, was chosen to be blessed by the Holy Spirit to carry Jesus and give birth to him and raise him. And the miracle that Joseph still accepted her, even though he could have shunned her and left her alone, he didn't, because an angel came, right? So let's not miss the miracle of that, you know, great story that it is in the midst of our season. So you guys sing this out. Song has probably become my favorite, and I probably say that every year. It's not really a new song, but maybe to you it is, or one that you're not used to singing at Christmas, but I do this one every year. I've done it for several years, and it's called How Many Kings. And the chorus just simply says, there's no other God that has done this for you. There's no other king. There's no other person that has sacrificed himself the way that Jesus did. And that's why we celebrate this season the way we do. So if you guys know it, sing it. If you don't, you'll catch on.
Child in a bed.
This is the last song we haven't done in a little while, but I thought it was appropriate as we just finished a series on the Holy Spirit. You know, this song is called Holy Spirit, Rain Down. And like Andrew said, oftentimes we know the parts of God. We know God the Father. We know about him. We know about Jesus. But sometimes we don't truly investigate the power that is there for us through the Holy Spirit, right? And this song really is asking God to come and rain down. And I don't know if we're really ready for that. Are you ready for that this season, that the Holy Spirit will be here? We'll see healings. We'll see faith renewed. We'll see people come to Christ. I hope that you're asking for that over this season, that the Holy Spirit will rest on this place. And as you go out into the community, that people will see that this season. Amen? Mm-hmm. So let's call on the Holy Spirit to be in this place and during this Advent season. Holy Spirit, rain down, rain down. O Comforter and Friend, how we need your touch again. Holy Spirit, rain.
How are you today? Good. Greg's the only one. 4 weeks till Christmas. How are you now? 4 weeks. How many leave it to the last moment? Your panic will begin soon. How many are done? I think I was done like last year because Allison looks after it. I don't look after much, right? Like it was kind of one of those things. I took Elias on Thursday so that he could get all of his shopping done, and we were really surprised because he's usually not that prepared, and it was wonderful. And then he even went out the other night and did his final little bits, I think. So I feel like we're in a pretty good place, right? And I kind of going, wow, but I still have a really hard time to believe that in 4 Sundays it's Christmas. Right? Like this year has seemed to have really gone by. And that's, it's been a good thing. It's been a bad thing. I kind of want it this year to pass like last year, right? I just kind of want to be done with it. But at the same side, I kind of go, wow, that Lord, it's just going a little fast for me. And so this year, Advent became very different for me. This has caused me to stop. Right, I had to think about candles. I could only find white candles. I know that's going to drive Larry nuts. Next service, he's going to come in here, and he's going to see 1 red candle and 4 white candles, and I'm just going to giggle, and it's just going to be burning in his head. Right, he's going to miss this whole message, but that's fine. He's going to be thinking about the candles. So leave the candles as they are. I want to challenge him, right? So it's one of those things where I was just going, wow, we're already at Advent, and Lord, I need to slow. I need to slow. And so what do we do with this whole idea of Advent? Well, Advent means arrival, right? It's when the church prepares for the Christmas season, and we prepare to celebrate Emmanuel. What is Emmanuel? It's one of the names given to Jesus, and it translates into God with us. Advent is the celebration of the arrival of God with us. How beautiful is that? How crazy is that? How awesome is that? How often do we take that for granted? And you know what? I've been running coming into this season. There's been so many things that have been going on. There's been so many counseling things, which are wonderful, and I'm praising the Lord for them, but they're exhausting. There's been so many people who've been sick, and I've been praying for healing and all of those things, and I'm going, Lord, it's been busy. It's been busy. It's been busy. Oh, wait a minute. Let's stop for a moment and pause because you are here. And while the world rushes to Christmas Day, the church wants to slow down and really celebrate this season. You know, in Scripture, we're called to be watching and waiting, always watching and waiting. And I think sometimes we get sucked into the busyness of the world that we get running and running and running. Well, you know what? I want to stop over the next few weeks and be watching and waiting. I want to hit pause. I want to be able to reflect. I want to slow down. And that has been so good for me this week. Like, I've been thinking of this historical event that is called Christmas that so many people just associate it with debt, right? And family, and for those who've got family issues, sorrow. Like, we did grief share, not by chance. We did grief share. We started grief share during this season because there's so many who are grieving. And sometimes, like last week we talked about it, sometimes it's the one that you lost and you're missing. Sometimes it's the one you were freed from and you're joyous, but you don't know how to feel about that, so there's still guilt. And I was thinking, wow, oh, wow, think about this, church. What we celebrate over the next few weeks changed our eternity. That's the miracle of Christmas. Scripture tells a story that couldn't have really happened by chance, right? And so I look into all the logical things because, again, my faith really started on a logical foot, right? The story of Christmas, how miraculous is it when we think of all the messianic prophecies and that they could be fulfilled in one man named Jesus? When you do the math on it, it's impossible. Again, like just thinking about it logically, it's impossible, and yet it's recorded and recorded over and over and over again in so many different sources that it should blow your mind. If anybody says that Jesus is not divine, they really don't know the facts. They've really never done the math. And over the next few weeks, we want to kind of stop and say, okay, let's look at how big this is. The Wesleyans kind of had this idea this year where they said, you know what, it'd be interesting if you could go through some of the covenants. And I thought, I usually don't kind of entertain some of their stuff because, right, it may be written in a different time, a different place to a different people. But I was kind of looking through some of their Advent things this year, and I kind of went, you know, it's interesting to me that there is 5 covenants that God had with his people in the Old Testament. And for me, that tweaks my brain. right? Five covenants to see how they were all kind of tied together, how they all miraculously happened. And these people who say, well, that's by chance, they're full of baloney. Right? And so what were those five covenants? I want to look at those over the next few weeks. There was one with Adam and Eve, a covenant that you know, but again, we want to remind you of today. Another with Noah and his family. Those two we're going to look at today. Right? But then there was Abraham and Sarah. There was Moses and Israel. There was David in the kingdom. Five different covenants in the Old Testament. Right? And they're more than marks just on a timeline of chronological events. While that's amazing enough when we think of how it all came together, but these are events that led to predictions of the miraculous. And where do they end? They end and they all point to this perfect story of the birth of Jesus Christ. And really, it should take our breath away. Again, logically, when people try to critique God and they say, you believe in this invisible thing in the sky, and then they grin, and I look at them and say, if you've never taken the time to connect the dots, woe to you. Because you shouldn't dismiss my faith. If you looked at it logically, I don't understand how anybody who does couldn't find faith. The evidence is so clear to me that anybody who looked at it would have to sit down, look at the mathematical probability, would have to sit down. Those who would look at all of the strings that God wove together, and they would come to the feet of an almighty God, and they would stop. They would stand in amazement. I hope that's true of you. These covenants, right? They're the outline of our salvation, the history that was fulfilled and completed in Jesus. And so let's dive into just a little bit of their depths. Like we could do a year study on some of these covenants, which would be pretty incredible, right? We may revisit some of them in the new year, which is kind of neat. But the first two kind of tell this story of hope. Do you know that Advent is the story of hope? Amen? Like when Joanne lit the hope candle, I was just going, man, oh man, Lord, let us bask in your glory and let it all sink in, the hope that we have in you. She already read this from Genesis 1, verses 1 to 3, and then we're going to skip down to verse 26 and 27 just for time this morning. But I want to read this for us again. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And then God said, let there be light. And there was light. You want to study creation and go back and see some of the nonsense that they believe and there's no answers to the Big Bang? Oh, my land. Like something out of nothing. Yeah, that's where we're going to put our faith. Verse 26, it says, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the sky and over the livestock and all the wild animals and over all the creatures that move along the ground. So God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. And you go, wow. All that happened by chance, did it? Like I want to reach out and touch a scientist who, and pray over them. Because how in the world could just observe and you will be in awe? So here we see the covenant of creation, right? The covenant of creation. I don't know if any of you have ever read Fleming Rutledge. She is a doctor and she is a reverend and she's got some really neat writings. But she said this. It kind of took me off my feet a little bit this week because I was just studying about the Advent. She said, Advent begins in the dark. And I never heard that thought, right? I kind of went, wow, Advent begins in the dark. What in the world? But then all of a sudden, as I looked at some of these ideas of the covenants that we wanted to go through, I went, wow, my mind went 1,000 places. Advent begins in the dark. And I said, yes, it does. Look at the covenant of creation. That it was formless and empty, and darkness covered the surface. The very first covenant of creation began in darkness. And you know what? It's interesting because the Christmas season, we think about lights. Like, you know, as Leona and Lola were putting up stuff, they kept plugging things in, right? My dad would have been going panicking, looking at the meter, right? But we don't worry about those things, right? So it's kind of one of those things where I was going, look at all of the beautiful lights. And I was amazed by that. And in our area, it's amazing because we have a lot of people who try hard to put up some Christmas lights, right? You think of the Christmas house lighting ceremony down at Al Dupuis. He's got a donation box, right? How many of you ever been down there to see Al's? A donation box to help pay for his electricity, which is kind of funny, right? And it's all those things that I know, like Allison, this year she was, we have a blue spruce in the back that their parents had given us for our anniversary a couple years back. And it's getting quite big now. So she was like, we need to do that one up with lights. And I'm thinking, we need a lot more extension cords, right? And so she went out and bought the extension cords, didn't miss a beat, had them back before I was even done thinking about it. And we were stringing lights in the backyard, and we're putting stuff up on the shed. And it, you guys will see the lights that go up in front of our house there. Height wasn't an issue. My health was not on her mind. Right, so I'm stringing these things up there. And she's like, go higher. And I'm like, no, you come up. Right? You'll understand why we're not going higher, right? And so then there's the wall where the cars go down in front of our house. So you're even when you're not up very far, you got another 6 feet to fall before you hit the pavement. And that's just before you see the car run over your corpse. And I'm going, okay, Allison, this is high enough, right? And so I'm putting up lights and I'm going, I love that we get excited and I love that we display that excitement through lights. How beautiful is Christmas? It's so beautiful. It's so lit. It's so amazing. And that whole contrast of, you know what? Advent started in darkness. But what did it come to proclaim? It came to proclaim the light of the world. And I was captivated by that. Advent started in the darkness. Genesis 1 opens with this image of chaos, formless and empty, void and dark. Yet out of that, God brings light. Let there be light. And light begins it all. And so even the other night when I was plugging in the lights, I was going, ah, Lord, light up the darkness. Light up the darkness. Would the light be our focus? Would we observe it in all of creation? Would we stand amazed at what you've done? Because creation's beautiful, right? Like when we think of the creation story, we read it, we've defended it. Maybe you apologetically, you've tried to explain it to folks who do believe in the Big Bang and all those sorts of things. And you know what? There's a portion of that where God can come in and say bang and all those things. And I know that you've debated that. And so you're kind of going, wow. But think of all of creation bearing the glory of God. Study the world around you. Study the wonder of all creation. Right? And your study would never end because there's just too much. And I was trying to think about that. The geosphere, right? This outer surface of the world and the surface of the planet within the geosphere. There's so much to be studied there. The biosphere, those systems that interact on the outer and inside the crust of the world. There's so much in the biosphere to study. The hydrosphere, that's one of the most unstudied one. Why? Because it's the study of the water that covers the planet. Right? There is so much in the depths of the sea that we don't even know. And if you watch Jaws as a kid, you're still terrified of it. Right? Like I think about the things that they're discovering as the further that they can go down. Think about the atmosphere, right? This envelope of gas that keeps us just warm enough, right? And holds our oxygen. How about the cryosphere? Right? That's part of the planet that's covered with ice. Like they're discovering stuff in there that they can't fathom. And you know what? All those studies are limited, but you yourselves observe. As the sun rises in the morning, or as we turn towards the sun, think of all that is going on. You want to scare yourself, think of all that could go wrong. And watch as the world moves and rotates and turns and tilts and the sun goes down again. Amazing. It's vast, it's breathtaking, and there's too much to discover, right? The complexities of all of those systems blow our mind, but here in creation, this creation covenant, we see the crown jewel of the creation. What is it? It was mankind. And you want to talk about how that should be mind-blowing, just look at the mind. Right? The human brain has so many layers that they just don't understand and they can't fathom how it works. That in 2021... This was fascinating to me. In 2021, they scanned the outer layer of the brain, just the outer layer, right? Of all that they already know and all the studies that they've done on the brain, they scanned just the outer layer again in a new way. They found another 100 areas that had been previously unreported. 100 areas. That's after all the years of study of the brain. They do one more test, and there's 100 more that appear, and that's just on the outside. Think of what's going on the inside layers of the brain. Like, that blows my mind. And then I think, you know what, we're about to, and you guys need to be praying for Tara. Tomorrow morning at 8:30, they are cutting into her skull and going into her brain. And they feel like they have done all the studies that they could do. They feel that they are prepared for every circumstance. But you know what? We want the Holy Spirit to go before every surgeon, every anesthesia person, everybody who's doing something in her case. And we want the Holy Spirit to go before that family to just give them a peace that God is in it. Amen. You know what? We're believing that they found this mess. We're believing that the clot disappeared. We're believing that all of this was revealed so that God could be given glory. And so we are trusting him with what seems almost insane tomorrow. But think of the brain. And think of what it does. And stand in awe of an almighty God. You want to go deeper. Go beyond the brain and start to discover and investigate your soul. That would be an interesting test for scientists to do. What do we know about the spirit, our soul? If we're made in God's image, you want to study that? Think about that. You bear the image of God in all of his spiritual mystery, in all of his vast breadth. Your spirit resembles his. Like, think of creation. It's huge, it's huge, it's huge, and how could people ever deny God? And so here is Adam and Eve. The first covenant begins with them, right? That he will be our God and we will be his people. And that covenant involves a commitment on our part to embody his character, right? And that's what this whole Christian journey is about. We want to look more like the Father today than we did yesterday, because we've had another day to become more like his character. We want our will to display God's will. We want his ways to become our ways. And there it is. And here's the astounding part, that even though many of us in the church are on that journey with an almighty God, and as vast and as deep and as long as that journey would be, there's much of the world that has rejected it. Because God's a gentleman, and he gives you free will. Right? So despite all of creation and all of the wonders and the newborn babies that we hold, there are those who still say, nope, there is no God. And you know what? God gives them the ability to reject. And we see that through these covenants, right? Because what are the covenants? All of the covenants that are in the Word of God, it seems like God makes a covenant, we forget the covenant. God reminds us of the covenant, right? Isn't that the case? Like, you'd say, how in the world could the people of God be so stupid? You ever wonder that? Okay, I want you to start tracking your actions, and then in probably about a week, revisit that question, because you make a lot of mistakes too. I make a lot of mistakes as well, right? So why in the world did they need to be reminded? Have you ever lived with a teenager? Oh, my land, they need to be reminded. Could you bring those dishes down, right? Yeah. Okay, 3 days later. Could you bring the dishes down? Yeah, I'm on it. Yeah. 3 days later, there's no dishes in the house, right? Oh, yes, they are. They're all up in your son's room, right? So you need to remind them. And I thought, oh, man, how can it get any worse? I got older. As I approach 50, I need to be reminded all the time, too. And I'm going, oh, no, we're going back into this stage. Like, what lies ahead terrifies me. I don't know how Allison is sane, because I forget stuff now like you wouldn't imagine, right? And so I write everything down, and I'm going, how come we need to be reminded? How do we forget so often? And you know what? The covenants, they're all reminders to us. Genesis 1 doesn't just give us the creation and a covenant, it gives us the fall. Like, it's just after it begins, all of a sudden it gets his first reminder. So this covenant of Adam and Eve, and then this covenant, this choice of the fall, it comes right in creation. So Genesis 1 tells us that we should identify with God. By chapter 3, we've already failed the covenant. Like, have you ever truly let that sink in? Mankind, God's prize? Are you kidding me? He makes the covenant in chapter 1, and by chapter 3, we've already failed the covenant. Like, I would have picked another planet and moved on. I would have set a little firecracker and went, there you go, boys. Let's go on to another planet. Let's go on to another creation. But here it is, and it wasn't, this blows my mind again, that by chapter 3, we failed when we had everything we need, every comfort, every protection, every provision. Adam and Eve had it made. The world was perfect. God said the world was good. And it was our gift. And then all of a sudden, tempted to grasp equality with God, what happens? We eat the fruit. 3 chapters in, we fail. And sin comes in and drags creation down. And that first covenant is shattered. And then here's the good news. That even though they broke the covenant, mankind broke the covenant, you know what? God was not going to break his covenant with us. Even though our failure shone bright, his faithfulness would shine even brighter. Even though sin would have broken us, God wanted our restoration. And while humanity waited, God gave us hope. You know what? Hope is not always easy to find. Right? You keep reading the creation story, right? That after Genesis 3, what happens? Everything spirals out of control and lands in devastation. Right? By the time we get to the second generation, this is just 2 generations in, a brother murders brother. Cain kills Abel. Life becomes meaningless. Life becomes so taken for granted that brother would kill brother and the whole collapse happens. Genesis 6, again, blows my mind how soon. Genesis 6, verse 5, records that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of the human heart was only evil all the time. Chapter 6, a few generations in, and every inclination was evil all the time. That doesn't sound like hope. Like, it doesn't sound like hope. Like, that's a sad, sad story, and it's just the beginning. And you go, how can this story get any better? Because you know what? This is really, 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 really terrible. But then all of a sudden, hope comes again. God shows his covenant and his love for mankind, and he chooses another representative. God selects Noah and enters into a covenant with him on behalf of all of us again. Like, if you ever question God's love for you, go back to the beginning of the book. And don't stop, because the book is your story. The book is my story. The book is the story of all of our failures, and God never giving up on us. Us turning from God, giving up on God, but God never giving up on us. He raises up Noah to proclaim grace in the throes of judgment, right? And so he destroys the earth with water. And in Genesis 9, we see this new covenant that's echoed in Eden, right? This promise of hope for all of creation, that Noah and his family are spared. Beautiful. Beautiful. And what does Noah do as soon as he leaves the ark? It says that he plants a vineyard. A reminder of the original garden. That God was not done, but now we would have to do the planning. God was not done, but now the work would be upon our shoulders a little. But God was not done, and the rainbow would appear in the sky, and it was beautiful. A covenant that he would never again destroy the world with water. beautiful. Genesis 6 and 9, that reminds us of all of the judgment that we should have, the destruction that we deserve, and yet grace provides a rescue. Grace provides hope. And the hope would point to a Savior. Jesus is the hope of creation. And, you know, this is the time when we're supposed to be celebrating that. This is the time when we're supposed to pause and reflect upon that. This is the time where we're supposed to, again, be in awe of our salvation. I hope that you stand in awe of who God is. Because out of the darkness comes light. Out of judgment came hope. And maybe you're here today and you say, you know what, Andrew? Ooh, my world feels pretty dark. Again, circumstance can steal our joy. Circumstance can turn off the lights. You know that? You focus in on the circumstance and pretty soon we don't see the light of the world. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, Andrew, my world feels pretty dark. I want you to know that your story, it's not meant to end there. As we go through these covenants, you're going to see darkness and then hope and light. Darkness again, then hope and light. Darkness again, then hope and light. And if you're going through darkness, just know that hope and light awaits you. So don't stop in the darkness, folks. He can be your hope today. But you can start over and come running to the light. And even when hope is hard to find, know that God has never given up on you. Everybody bow your heads. God makes a covenant with Adam and Eve. By chapter 3, it's broken. And evil takes over in such a way that, wow, oh, wow, there is no good in man at all. And the Lord says, okay, we'll make a new covenant. Praise the Lord for Noah. There may be moments where you feel like, wow, here I am, I messed up again. God deserves so much more. True. True. But aren't you glad that even when we break our covenant with Him, He never breaks His covenant with us? Aren't you glad that when we feel like we're lost in the darkness, oh, that you would only hope you would find the light again? The light awaits you. If you need Him today, come. If you need Him today, begin again. Let's say thank you for the covenants of God. Father, I want to say thank you that somehow your plan included us. I don't understand. Like, of all the mysteries of the world, why you hang on to us is the greatest mystery of all. Covenant after covenant after covenant after covenant, you prove that your love would never fail, despite our failures. That your love would never give up despite all the times that we give up. That your love was so much greater than our love. I pray that we would stand in awe of who you are. So, Father, fill us with hope today. Fill us with hope. Because that's all mankind needs to get to tomorrow. We love you today for your love for us. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an incredible week. And remember to take a moment and pause, take a breath, and drink it all in. Don't let the season be lost to you in the business. Amen. Amen.